We call back prodigals right now in the name of Jesus. We decree that destinies will be restored, that they will be fulfilled, and that their purpose will not be cut off in Jesus' name.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, family. Thank you for tuning in from all across the nations of the earth to this week's what's going to be a very special episode of Live Your Best Life with, of course, me, Liz Wright. And my conversation today is going to be with a very precious woman of God who is a worship leader. She's a songwriter. She's an author of several very powerful books. She's an international speaker. And she has now co-authored a really moving, really important book with her apostolic dad. And the book it contains so much revelation, so much guidance in how to effectively, powerfully decree and pray for those that we love that have just gone off and got lost in life. It's called Come Home. You're going to hear more about it today in my conversation with the amazing Rachel Schaefer. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's an honor to have you on. Honestly, like I said to you before we jumped on air, I've been reading through the book and it's very moving and it's very impacting. And it's clear that both you and your dad carry the Father's heart. You know, you really have been gripped with the Lord's heart for those that have just wandered away. There's so much guidance in the content. It's not just telling us that we can and we should be, but it's a how to as well, isn't it? How to actually draw people back home into the presence of Father. So, okay, before we dive into the content and the revelation, I just wanted to ask you, for those watching around the world who are not familiar with your ministry, will you just give us a little bit of your backstory? Like, how did you meet Jesus? And yeah, when you first experienced his love and all the good, you know, testimony, the good stuff.
Sure. Well, I grew up, obviously, as a pastor's kid. So as long as I've known church and all things church. And I can remember one day I was 12 years old and I was riding with my parents back home from church. And I just simply said to them, I can't remember actually asking the Lord into my heart. Like, I know that I love him and I go to church all the time with you guys, but I don't have that core memory. And even though I know that I had probably done it many times in children's church, I wanted to have that memory. And so in the car on the way home after church, dad led me in the sinner's prayer. And I have that vivid core memory now of asking the Lord into my heart. I've always lived for God. I can remember telling God or telling my dad that I didn't have like this awesome testimony. Like, I had never survived, you know, a car crash or, you know, something awesome. And he said, you have one of the greatest testimonies because you've always lived close to Jesus and he's your confidant, he's your savior, he's your friend. And that's one of the greatest testimonies you can have. And so that's just how I try to live my life, as close to Jesus and learning more and more about him all the time. So,
yeah, it's just beautiful. You are very blessed in your upbringing. I mean, I'm sure there were ups and downs, but it's such a rich way to begin your life, isn't it? And to grow up in church as well. So did you see Holy Spirit moving? Could you see the evidence of lives transforming and miracles and just the presence of God moving all around you as a child? That must have shaped you, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we had prayer lines at the end of every service and dad praying for people and people being healed. And then I got to be a part of going and praying for people and prayer lines as I grew in my relationship with the Lord and grew in my own ministry. And it's just powerful to see God's transformative power in people's lives, and what he can do is amazing.
He really is. Yeah, absolutely. So did your, like, you obviously, I mean, it comes off every page of the book, your heart, your genuine love for people, your concern for people. It's like, through the words, I could feel the Father longing, like drawing people back to himself, saying, I really love you. I don't want you to be wandering in this sense of separateness away from me, living a life that you were never predestined, never created to live. Has that formed in you over the years, or was there a moment where you just got wrecked with his heart, or both?
Probably both. I know I touched on the fact where I mentioned that I didn't have, or I didn't think I had this awesome testimony. And it's because of my close relationship with Jesus, I did go through some harder times later on in our marriage and with our family, in trying to grow our family. And we, we experienced infertility and lots of loss. And that really grew my heart, because before that, I just thought, oh, I'm going to get married and have, two kids, a boy and a girl, and life is going to be great. And that's not how it worked out. And, we have four children. Two of them are biological and two of them were adopted from China. And that opened up my heart in such a way for just the spirit of adoption. And that's what we have in Christ as heirs. We've all been adopted by the Father. And that wrecked me more than anything, was just going through that and him opening my heart in such a way that I hadn't imagined before, if that makes sense.
Oh my gosh, absolutely, absolutely. Will you just really begin in those really difficult seasons to, you're so dependent on him, aren't you? It's like your heart and his heart match, and he really does begin to be your strength so that you can carry on, and then you begin to absorb more and more of his genuine love and transform. It's just the difficulties definitely escort us deeper into him, don't they?
It's true, definitely.
So there was one of the things that really impacted me when I was just at the beginning of the book, is where you and I think it's actually revelation that your dad had received, but you were both doing the research into the prodigal son story. Do you remember that? Will you share that? Because I was sitting there going, oh my gosh, people need to hear this. It brings out a whole other level of understanding of the Father's heart, doesn't it? So will you share that?
The story in Luke chapter 15 of the prodigal son, there's a powerful revelation in that. I think most of us are familiar with the story of the son who wanted his inheritance early, and he ended up, the father gave it to him, but he ended up wasting it, losing all of it. And he wanted to come back home. And Luke 15, verse 20 tells us that the father saw his son from off in the distance, and he ran to him, fell upon his neck and hugged him and kissed him. And there's such significance in the fact that his father ran, because in those days, a Middle Eastern man did not run, because in order to run, he would have to raise his tunic and that would expose his bare legs. And that was considered very shameful and humiliating in those days. And also, a son who lost his inheritance and wasted everything and wanted to come back home was not greeted back by the community. In fact, ties would be broken and they would perform the ceremony called a kazaza ceremony. It's the ceremony of shame. And they would break large pitchers and pots in front of the son, and that would signify a breaking off from community. So the fact that the father saw him from the distance, ran to him, in essence, he took on that humiliation and shame so that the son didn't have to, and he got to the son before the community could come at him with the law. So instead of there being a ceremony of shame, he was welcomed home with a party. He was given his signet ring back. He was welcomed back into right standing with the family because of that. And so obviously we can see the correlation with our Heavenly Father through Jesus, who took our grief, our shame, our humiliation. And now we have a way to the Father. And that's the Father's great love for us. And what he did for the prodigal in that story, he promises the same for those prodigals that we're believing for also. Like, they will be welcomed home with open arms, right back into right standing in the kingdom of God. So that's, I think, a powerful truth within that prodigal story that we had not realized until we really started diving in and studying for this book.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Honestly, I sat there and I got so teary. I was reading, going, gosh, that's so impacting because we don't understand, do we? Unless we've studied the culture of the day. We miss those subtle parts of the story that are just profound, that reveal the father, that no matter what mess we're in, he's reaching to us, right? He's running to us to fall on our neck and kiss us. I love that as well, and hug us, just fill us up with his love. It's just, he's not even discussing the pig swill that we've been sitting in, and the mess. And there's no shame, like you said, there's just, he's communicating so intentionally through that story that there's no shame, there's no judgment, there's just arms wide open to say, come on, let's just start over. And something else that you do a deep dive into in the book as well, which is about the reconstruction of our destiny, which I think links with this subject. It's like we were born with a destiny. Father's very intentional in our life. When we decide, for whatever reason, whether pain's pushing us or we're just whatever, we go off track in life, we haven't blown it permanently. There is a reconstructive work that Father will begin as soon as we come back. Will you speak a little bit more into that? Because I just thought that's serious hope for people who think they've just totally wrecked their life.
And we know that before we're ever even born, God sets out a plan for our lives and a destiny. And but we're also born with free will. And we can sometimes choose not to go in the path that he's created for us. But part of prodigals returning home is a restoration of that lost destiny and that lost purpose that he's created. There's, God knows the end from the beginning. And so he knows what needs to be done throughout the middle to perhaps, get you into a place where you're back on track. And he knows how to put, whether it's people around you that are going to do that or put you into a place, but there's no one who can stray too far out of God's reach, especially when you have people who are praying, who are decreeing over your life and over your destiny. And he will use, lots of ways to restore that purpose to you. It could be through, we know that angels hearken to the decrees of our people. So when we make decrees, he can send angels on behalf of your prodigal. He can connect you in ways that you would have never thought of. So things that look, impossible to us in the natural are definitely not impossible with God. And he knows exactly how to put that into place. And definitely lost part of this harvest coming home and prodigals coming home is that restoration of purpose and destiny in those who have been possibly even running from that, but God is going to pull them back and draw them back because of his great love for us.
Right, because we're his children, even if we don't realize or we have forgotten or we've just fallen into unbelief through pain in life. Yeah, you can really feel it. You can feel it's the time, isn't it, where he's very serious about getting his children back, everybody back
He
home
is.
into the arms of his embrace, his presence. Yeah, and I just as well, I loved the illustration from Genesis of the father is the original gardener. And now we are the gardeners. We have been given that delegated responsibility and privilege. And I just thought that was super powerful as well, like as an illustration to use to encourage those of us that are praying for ones, not necessarily children or but family members, people that we love that have just got lost and gone away from God or off track. Because there's a lot of pain in the world, isn't there? People are in a lot of messes, a lot of trauma. There's a lot of reasons why people have fallen away. And I just thought, yeah, to really encourage people and to remind people of the level of authority that we actually have and the power of our decrees. Because your book it's full of decrees. It's full of this truth that
Yes.
it just snaps you back into that reality of, yeah, my words carry serious power because that is the delegated authority that I have been entrusted with now. So can I ask you to just unpack that a little bit more as well? Because I thought, and even the language that you went into, looking at the original Hebrew and the Greek for the words describing planting and just looking at the whole thing of planting and seeding and the fullness of what that actually means and what we've been entrusted with and what it achieves. So yeah, can you speak into that a bit more?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on the fact that because we are joint heirs with Christ, then we have the same authority that he has because he lives in us. And the very words of God are the words that breathe life. They're the words that establish things. So when we begin speaking the language of the king, not voicing our concerns, our worries, but giving voice to his words, then that's what's going to produce life. That's what's going to produce change. That's what's going to seed and plant the heavens to where you're not just saying come home, you're saying come home. You're decreeing it. It's a different, it's just a different almost perspective and attitude that you have that because of who I am in Christ, I can do these things and I can declare and decree. And we know that, whatever is decreed is established through the word of God. And so, that is the language that he's talking about when planting the heavens, it's giving voice to God's words instead of anything else. And so you're not planting the heavens with doubt or any confusing thoughts. You're just decreeing the very word of God. And when you do that, you're giving voice to truth and righteousness and hope instead of anything else. And so I think that's, the importance of decreeing and saying those things even out loud, because it's important because it does change the atmosphere, what we put out there. And so yeah, I think that's the important thing with planting the heavens and using our decrees.
Yeah, absolutely. It really does change the atmosphere, doesn't it? Because you're speaking forth the intention of God, and that word carries creative power inside of it. And like the word says, his word never returns to him void, having not accomplished that for which it was sent forth to do, his intention. And when we realize that, and the delegated authority that we have, because Christ in us, like you said, it's a game changer when you sit in that awareness, isn't it? And you begin to feel this spirit of God on his word. Like you said as well, it's not praying our desire or an intention, it's praying his word. And then that word goes in as a seed. And as our faith continues to water that seed, it will bring forth life, it will bring forth his purposes. It's so powerful. And when you know that, like you're doing in the book, you're marrying together the Father's heart with this truth, so powerfully. And as you and understanding that he's a covenant-keeping God, he is for us and he's backing us and we're in agreement with him. There's not going to be any failure if we don't give up. We just keep walking with him and letting our faith be the water onto that seed, like you so brilliantly illustrate. I thought, yeah, these are foundational truths that we need to revisit right now and be strengthened by again, because there's so many people in so much pain that, we're bringing home through our decrees. So can we make it super practical? Like for those of us who are praying, and I think probably all of us are praying for somebody, who's just got lost in life and we're just calling them back. Can you give us like an illustration of what a decree would look like? I'm going to ask you to decree and pray with us in a minute, but I just wanted, what have you found component parts of decrees that are particularly effective?
In general, I think like whenever I'm concerned or worried about any situation, I always take it back to, well, what does God say about this? What does his word say about it so that I can get myself in line with his word. And so the practical part for me is, if I'm going through a situation where, I say it's my daughter and I think, I don't know if she'll ever come back to the Lord. I'm really worried about this. Well, there's a verse in Isaiah that says, I will save your children. So instead of me saying, I'm going to keep worrying about this, I'm going to say, God, you said that you would save my child. So I'm standing upon your word, your words that are promised life-giving and that don't return void. And so I decree, you will save my daughter, like that kind of a thing. So I just take the word and turn it into a decree for what the situation is. And that can apply to so many things. One of my favorite verses is, you are brave, you are strong, don't give up, expect God. And you can use that in almost anything. Like, I am expecting you, God, to show up. Your word says that the moment we cry out, you step in. So I'm expecting you to step into this situation. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that answers your question exactly, but that's a practical thing that I do to make my own decrees over whatever situation. And then we also have decrees in our book, like 10 decrees at the end of each chapter that you can pray over your prodigal, and you can put your prodigal's name in there, whether it's a child or a parent or a friend or a loved one, whoever it is. And you can, it gives you a grounding starting place that you can go from for decrees for your prodigal.
Yeah, they're super
As well.
powerful. When I was sitting with the reading them, thinking, yeah, it's just so powerful. It's really helpful to have that language. And I wanted to ask you as well. So when you do that and you're dealing with, for example, you know, a particularly difficult situation, how do you keep your own internal world connected to Holy Spirit? So obviously you're taking care of your own relationship with Jesus, and then you're engaging with the word from a place of faith. So it's very, you know, you're actually operating in your partnership with him. How do you do that yourself internally?
For myself, and this is something that the Lord spoke to me several years ago when I was walking out a situation with one of the children we adopted, ended up with lots of medical needs that we had needed to take care of. And during a situation that was particularly concerning, you know, I just went to the Lord and I was just feeling overwhelmed. And he simply said to me, "What you magnify, you're surrounded by." And right away that shifted, it just changed my perspective, because I had been surrounding myself with the worry, the doctor's reports, the what she was facing, what our life was going to look like. And so I just decided to change that. And I said, okay, I'm going to magnify the one who's greater, the one who's stronger, the one who heals, the one who provides, the one who makes ways. And when you do that, you become surrounded by his presence. You become surrounded by the essence of who he is, his glory. And yes, you're still facing difficult situations, but you're empowered by the one who lives in you. Because greater is, you know, greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. And so you just take on a different stance. You have his heavenly perspective instead of the world's perspective. And that makes all the difference in anything, I think, you know, to keep that heavenly perspective. So for me, it's, you know, getting into a place of worship. I might go to my piano at home or turn on worship music. I'll get in the word and start reading it, and just surrounding myself with his word, his promises, who he is. And that makes all the difference for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's so important, isn't it, to have these conversations to remind ourselves and to go, this is how we're actually doing our lives. This is what it's every day of my life, you know, and sit, that was powerful what you've just said. And just so getting to a point where you sit that issue that you're facing in the context of truth, in the context of divine perspective. And so you're not looking, I love that, like you're not looking at the problem. And of course, that was an overwhelmingly difficult situation in the natural, but you chose to look at him, his word, his faithfulness, his nature. And then it's amazing, isn't it, how fast spiritual strength begins to fill you as you come back in agreement with truth. And then before you know, you've shifted. And like you said, the circumstances may be the same, but you're now very different. You're now reignited in your faith, and you're empowered, and you begin to govern. And then the word of God begins to change and transform and reform, and all that he does. He's so faithful, isn't he?
Yes.
And those impossibilities become a testimony, and then that's part of your life.
Exactly.
That's profound. Oh my gosh. Can I ask you, will you pray for us, particularly in agreement? I would love it if you could do what you do and do what you've shared in the book. You know, for anyone who's really facing difficulties or believing for those that they love to come back home to the Father, you know, come out of being lost and in pain and in that alone state. However the Lord leads you, but would you do that? Because I know you're seriously effective and powerful in this area. You've got tremendous fruit. So be expected, guys.
I'm going to start off
for a breakthrough.
Which I wrote off. I really think that Psalm 22 is a prophetic psalm for right now. So I want to start off really just kind of decreeing that. I feel like that's what Holy Spirit wants me to start with today. But Psalm 22, 27 says, "From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses, are running back to God. Long lost families are falling on their faces before him. God has taken charge, and from now on, he has the last word. And I believe that this psalm is speaking into our time right now. And so I will start off by making some decrees. So Heavenly Father, we just come into a line with you, and we call back prodigals right now in the name of Jesus. We decree that destinies will be restored, that they will be fulfilled, and that their purpose will not be cut off in Jesus' name. I decree God's amazing love and presence is overwhelming all prodigals, that there is no escaping of the love of the Father, that no one is too far gone to not be pulled back into his presence. I decree awakening in the eyes of prodigals. I decree eyes to be open, hearts to be receptive. I decree that angels are being released to assist in bringing generations home, in bringing lost loved ones home. I decree that harvest is now and that prodigals are returning to the heart of the Father. I decree supernatural encounters with King Jesus are accelerating right now across the land. I shake off all doubt, all depression, all heart sickness that would cause anyone to be hopeless or hope deferred. And we just stand strong on the faithfulness of who our God is. I decree a Holy Spirit outpouring is beginning to move on all flesh, on our sons and on our daughters. I decree that the enemy loses and God wins over the hearts of our children, over the hearts of our prodigals. I decree the heart of Father God is being revealed to our prodigals and drawing them back home. And so I just pray right now for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this outpouring would bring light into the darkness that has surrounded them, into the darkness that the enemy has tried to wrap around the minds of our prodigals. And I just decree and declare, set them free in the name of Jesus. I pray that revival and awakening would begin to sweep across this land, around this world. I bind any lying spirits. I bind any evil communication. And I just pray that the gentle voice of the Father and that his loving heart would call them home, would draw them in Jesus' name. I decree that the angels of God are here to assist us in taking part of this harvest that is now returning. And we just decree and declare that our children will sing your songs. They'll dream their dreams and they'll live the lives that you have created for them in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. We're continuing to stand strong upon your promises, calling each and every one of them home in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
gosh. I can feel the presence of Holy Spirit so powerfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just decreed his heart. Jesus is getting his dream. There's no no in him. He just had you express his heart, and we agree for you guys individually, personally, in your personal circumstances. And then we agree right now,
yes,
all the thousands and thousands of us around the world watching this and being together in this moment, we agree for this move of the Spirit to awaken the hearts and bring everybody created by him, belonging to him, back home into the embrace of our Father, into his heart. We agree. We agree.
Amen.
Each one of us rooted and grounded and established in the love, the experience of the love of our Father, stable and strong, flourishing, oaks of righteousness, becoming oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor across the nations of the earth to shift the atmospheres and transform
Amen.
this world. Amen. See the kingdom come. We agree. Oh my
Amen.
gosh.
Yes.
I could talk to you for hours. It's so good to have you on.
It's so good to talk to you too.
Thank you for giving us your precious time. Thank you for that powerful decree straight from the heart of Father. And guys,
thank
you too for giving us your precious time. We pray you have the most amazing week. I'm really expectant. Write in and let us know as things start to break through in your life and you start to see people coming out of the darkness back into light and being restored, because I know there's going to be so much fruit from this agreement today. It's super powerful. Holy Spirit's on the move. And like you said in your book, seed, the word of God, has just been given for the angels to work with.
That's
So they
right.
are now out on assignment on our behalf and on heaven's behalf. So
Amen,
have an
amen.
amazing week, guys, and so good to be with you. God bless, and have the most amazing week, and I'll see you next week. God bless. Over 20 years ago now, I had a life-transforming experience with Jesus. He enabled me to begin to walk with him in a supernatural way, where a lifestyle of encounters became my normal. And that's why I wrote Reflecting God. I have literally poured out into this book all of the keys that I have learned down the years on how you walk this kind of life with him. I encourage you, pick up a copy of Reflecting God from wherever you buy your books.